going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Artist Alley podcast time for BotCon 2014. This is basically the audio from the 5 YouTube videos I've put up, which were interviews with artists from Artist Alley. So if you want to see what they're talking about or what they're saying, you should probably go check those out. However, for the sake of the podcast, I have assembled them all into one single file. So you're going to hear some Rachel Cook, you're going to hear some Josh Burcham, you're going to hear the double team duo of Sarah Stone and Margreet Scott, you're going to hear some Marcelo Matier, and you're going to hear some Puggle Formers with Kali Karishoka. So let's get this going and hit the road and some other analogies for starting, because the music is just about over. And I think that, oh, by the way, there should be a timeline in the thread that's showing when each interview is happening, and I'll link to the YouTube videos in each of those links as well. So here we go. It's time for some of this Artist Alley talk. Welcome to an Artist Alley interview, yourself and the people watching at home. Could you introduce yourself to the audience and let us know what you do?
Okay. My name is Rachel Cook. I've been in the fandom for around 12 years now. I like to make custom jewelry. I don't know if you can see that.
Totally.
I got a wind blade right here. I also do hill hats, which I will show you how to print.
Alrighty.
So this is Optimus. This is an example of one of my helm hats. I do my commissions, so I measure them to your head, so they're custom made. And I also do prints and artwork, which is right behind me. One of my prints that people may recognize is my Windblade We Can Do It print. Margaret Sutler, and she was my very first customer on this print. So.
Fantastic. So you do a lot of different art. You've got like 2D, you've got helms, you've got jewelry.
I do.
So would you say that you're just kind of like a practicing maker, like you are more into just creating stuff. Crafter.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm a crafter, but actually my background is in animation.
Okay.
So I went to art school. My bachelor's is in that, media arts and animation.
So one of the reasons why I'm coming here is also to impress upon Hasbro that I would really be interested in working for them someday. So,
all right. Mm-hmm. Well, the best way to show someone what you're
exactly.
up to is put out an array of work.
That's right.
I guess we'll start off with the 2D side of things. When you're working on 2D art, like the We Can Do It poster being an easy example, mm-hmm. You just kind of run with an inspiration and just do you go full out like one go?
Stuff together? Yeah. I tend to get all my pieces done in one sitting, so I tend to work on them. I'm one of those artists that cannot stop. Like once I start something, I'll be sitting there for hours on end to work and complete it. I'm very passionate about Transformers art, so I really want to make it look beautiful and colorful. I like using a lot of color in my artwork. I like to stylize things too.
Yeah.
Like in Knockout, he's got his saw blades in the background and everything like that. So I do a lot of fan work because of my passion for Transformers.
Yeah. And coming from animation, so you've gone to school for animation, you're coming from that end of things.
Mm-hmm.
Does it give you a different kind of appreciation for like the media that we take in with this
stuff? Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because I went to school, I worked with a lot of the programs that they use to put out things like Prime and Animated. For example, like My Little Ponies is done with Flash animation, and that's a program that I learned in school, too. So it really gives you appreciation when you know just how much work goes into it and it is involved in it. And, like, for example, Prime is so fantastically made, and it's amazing what they've done with a TV show.
Yeah.
It's the production involved and the work involved in a show like that. It's intense.
Well, and you notice things like the emotion in the characters' faces. Mm-hmm. The eye animation in that show really caught me when I was watching the first couple seasons.
Absolutely. Their character animators are amazing. They're like, we like to call the character animators the movie stars of the animation world. They have the jobs that everybody wants, every animator wants, and I'm like, I look at the rigs, not to mention the modelers who have modeled these rigs in animated. The parts, the rigging on them, and the controllers to move all of this is complex.
Yeah.
For example, Predaking. Predaking's a really good example of just how complex that show is.
Yeah.
I think I remember the concept artist when they told him, I read in the Prime book, when they told him to go crazy, he went crazy, and the animators and the modelers and the riggers saw it, and they went, ah!
So, taking that into consideration, like knowing how the animated models, you know, operate in that world, does that translate to some of the helm work you do? Like,
it really does.
Putting that stuff together, like bearing in mind where eye lines are going to be, how it's going to move on a neck?
I do a lot of measuring. It is a little technical, but I have gotten to the point where I tend to eye it more.
Yeah.
But it's like working in your XYZ parameters in like a 3D programming. Like, you see these guys who do the Shapeways. I think it's Shapeways.
Yeah, Shapeways, the 3D printed stuff.
Yes, you see them. They model that first in their 3D programs, and then they have it 3D printed. In my mind, when I work on helm hats, it's much the same thing, only it's in a physical aspect.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's sculpting, really. It's this type of sculpting.
And with your helms, like, what kind of materials do you use to put that stuff together?
Well, I fuse the foam together with a glue, mm-hmm. So they do not come undone. They are made out of craft foam, so I buy craft foam sheets. They're flat. So what I do is I draw my patterns, and I usually build, like, a pattern first, mm-hmm. and then I take that pattern, and I use it to make the final hat.
Okay.
So it's a step process, and I also get examples. While I'm working on the hat, building my pattern, I'm always looking back and forth at the pictures from different angles, so that way I try to get it as accurate as possible
okay.
to the character.
So I see, like, really clearly the motivations that lead you to do art in the 2D medium as well as a helm physical medium. Mm-hmm. So with the jewelry side of what you're putting together, mm-hmm. what does that come from? Is that just you like putting
okay,
that stuff together?
Okay, so I do have a story about that.
Okay.
Well, I used to be a department head at Hobby Lobby. So I had to learn how to make jewelry so I could answer questions for customers. So I no longer work there anymore, but I have taken with me that knowledge.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, you know, there's not enough merchandise geared out there for women in
yeah.
the Transformers fandom. And I thought to myself, why not? Why not make some jewelry for the girls who come?
It's cool to see something outside of just t-shirts, too.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's wrong with t-shirts, but that's the go-to.
I don't see much jewelry out there. I see necklaces and stuff, but I don't see bracelets or earrings as much
yeah.
as some other stuff that's out there. But I just wanted to really give, you know, some bling and some flair to the girls' side of the fandom.
And do you find, have you dabbled in the Etsy marketplace with any of this stuff?
I do actually have an Etsy. It's called the Art ZR,
okay.
ARTZNR. I've been there for about little short of a year now. I've been doing pretty good on there.
I was going to ask how Etsy is, just for, you know, someone who goes in and just doing
stuff. It's fantastic. I love it. It's very convenient for both the seller and the buyer.
Okay.
I mean, they're very reasonable, too, if you want to start your own Etsy.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So is there anything else here that I've missed so far? We've got Tudu, we've got helms, we've got jewelry.
Well, I am doing a raffle right now for Windblade.
Oh.
Right here. This
like
is
the full-on.
Yes, the Windblade helm hat. The
right.
only other person who has one is Marigrid herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably walking around with it right now.
And so if I want to beat her to Windblade cosplay, get in on this raffle and maybe I could, like, while she thinks she's the only one with the head start.
Right. Head start.
I didn't even think of that.
This is a very nice pun. I tend to like puns because I costume as Knockout, so
I can dig it. Well, thanks very much for your time. You've already dropped your Etsy site. Is there any other website folks can check you out on?
ArtZRachel.com.
Alrighty.
And it's A-R-T-Z.
Z in Canada?
Okay. But is right there.
Alrighty. This is a powerful lock-in, pull-focus shot we're doing here.
But yeah, you guys feel free to visit, and I take commissions on everything. So.
Great. Well, thanks for your time, and have a good time here at BotCon.
Thank you. Have a good one.
I'm a fan of Concerned.
Yeah, right.
It's nice and stoic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking to Josh Burcham on a camera with a microphone right next to him. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad.
Nice.
We're here at BotCon 2014. I'm just curious. So you got your table over here.
I do.
And then there's like a bit of Artist Alley over there.
Yeah.
And there's a bit over here.
Yeah.
But you're like at the head of the table kind of position. Is this that hot, crazy samurai Jack money? Just like...
Yeah, I just kind of like, here you go, Pete, you know. Give me a good spot.
Kenny Tartakovsky, let me tell you all
by
about
it. Yeah.
Just rewind to Transformers for a second here.
Sure.
You've been working on a bunch of stuff.
I have.
How's it been going? How's the new kind of comic rush that's been going on for the last little bit?
Yeah, it's been busy, really busy, yeah. I've been working on, I kind of had to drop off more of the Meets the Eye for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I've been working on Samurai Jack, like you said. I've been working on 24, a prequel story to the new season that's on TV right now, Kiefer Sutherland and all that. And I've been drawing and coloring a new follow-up comic to the Machine Wars book last year. I'm about halfway done with it. I don't know when it's coming out or where.
Is it going to be through Diamond or?
I think so.
Okay.
It's part of Timelines, I guess. Their Timelines thing, but I don't know.
Yeah.
No idea.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing more Machine Wars from you.
Yeah.
I think I said this last year, but your enthusiasm for that project is infectious.
Nice. Right on.
With the other stuff you've been doing, I'm just going to cut right to the chase.
Sure.
That Samurai Jack book is friggin' cool.
It is, isn't it?
How is that to work on? Like, is there a lot of referencing to the original, like, the color framing of the original show? Like, it feels so much like it's in the spirit of every bit of the art of the original show.
Yeah, definitely a little bit. This last issue I just finished up, I think, or the one before that. It was actually had a lot of flashbacks to the first episode of the cartoon, and so that was cool. I got to use a lot of, just kind of go back, screenshots, and just kind of do those colors and kind of try to match the style and stuff. But it's all pretty good. I mean, the main artist behind it, Andy Suriano, he was actually a character designer or prop designer. He worked a lot on the original cartoon. And so a lot of the feel is, I think he brings a lot of that to the table.
Yeah, that whole project, like, there was a definite, just seeing the announcement, new Samurai Jack comic, there's, like, a bit of trepidation you're going to have. Cause it's like, that's a thing to mess with.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be careful. But it's so much in the spirit of the original. It's great to see.
Yeah. Jim Zub has been writing really great stories. It's really great.
Going to a bit of a toy bend here, I just want to ask you, how's Genesis treating you?
Genesis, he is amazing. Do you have one yet?
I don't have one.
Yeah, I think I saw some.
There's been someone trying to get me to buy one every now and then. I get these Twitter messages.
Sounds like a pretty smart guy.
Maybe, yeah.
Pretty handsome guy, too.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm taken, but...
too bad.
So at the show, you've got a lot of prints going on.
I do.
Are you looking forward to the sketch rush?
I am, yeah. I've got a couple right now, a little list, kind of slowly building, but it should be pretty good. Yeah.
Well, I hope that you get some good business.
Yeah.
And you got any fresh prints?
I do.
You want to tell us about?
Yep, this is probably the newest one I got here.
It's
I don't know if you can see it. Fresh.
Off the presses. Oh.
Oh, baby. DevCon, Lockdown, and Cannonball.
All right.
Can't beat it.
Badass. I didn't know about the new Machine Wars book. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do with that.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with the Bakugan comics. They usually end on, like, this soft cliffhanger, and then I'm like, but.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one picks up, like, next frame after, you know, the original one does, so it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Are you doing everything on it? Like, is it a personal project thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's official for the, whatever, for the
official
guys.
Official for it, but it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Machine Wars is Bertram territory.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing now, I guess. Which, whatever. I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Good to see you at the show.
You too.
I'm not just saying... I'm going to say good to see you after I turn the camera off as
well.
Yeah. This is an Artist Alley interview in Artist Alley number 2. It's a one-man alley. I'll get a shot of this.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, I am here at what ostensibly could be called Fort Windblade. This is the Artist Alley. I'm here with Margaret Scott and Sarah Stone.
Hi.
Pleasure to meet you guys. This comic book with Windblade is it's interesting. It's like Transformers, but with, like, really good art as well, and, like, decent writing, and it's a mini series. It's not one of the main series. It's coming left field to me because I'm unfortunately still ignorant to the quality of the Dinobot series that you've been writing previously. So this kind of was me diving into, you know, the cold pool. Like, I don't know the art and I don't know the writing too well, but the art looked super neat. And Windblade is a pretty big character. She's the thrilling 30 top-off character. She's a new original female Transformer character. So working on this book, you guys have been doing a lot of
press and talk about this book. And now we're into, we got issue 3 on the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it drops next week.
Yeah, how are you feeling about the reception to the book so far?
It's been really stunning. Like, it's been great and really surprising in a lot of ways. It's fun how much fans have responded to, you know, having a really empathetic, caring sort of main character.
Mm-hmm. And with the art side of things, as I understand it, you're kind of doing like a one-stop art shop thing here. Like, you're covering everything.
Doing everything. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, but it's been really, really fun.
Yeah, like, how has that been? Like, issue one was just bang on, but have you like, been feeling a crunch yet? Has it been a bit uphill?
It's been feeling crunchy since the beginning.
Yeah.
And especially since it's my first time doing official interiors for any comic, so it was a lot of learning curve at the beginning too. So I feel like I lost a little bit of time there that I had to make crunch up and for later. But yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, personally speaking, your art style is really cool to see, and just this world of Transformers IDW is doing. It's got an identity. It's pretty strong. It's got a lot of emotion in the panels.
Good.
Speaking to just like everything involving Windblade and the Windblade story, when you guys came on to do this, was this after the character had already been designed, named, and put together? Like, were you guys sort of given the Windblade character as kind of like a toy to mess with? Like, come up with a backstory, you know, come up with everything else?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Well, they had the toy, they had the name, they had the design, and it was sort of like, you know, go from there. And so we tried to head it. Essentially, our job was to take her from toy to person.
Yeah.
You know? I think we've done a good job.
I think it's been great. Windblade suffered from a head start that the Drift character suffered from, in that a lot of people looked at, you know, this character design and were like, it's a samurai robot girl jet thing. Like, is this like going to be some sort of, you know, the badassest Transformer? This is going to be the character who kind of comes in and is like, I am so cool. Did you guys, like, when you were writing Windblade, were you kind of conscious of like wanting to make this a really strong, like you said, empathetic character, like something that would be nothing but, like, nothing like the preconception?
Well, yeah, that was part of it, and I'd really been, you know, my work on Dinobots got kind of nihilistic towards the end, so I really wanted to make a hero who was truly hopeful.
Yeah.
And I wanted someone who could fall in love with Cybertron, because the idea was that since Windblade's a limited series, but we're in continuity with the other two books, is we could get new readers to come and read us and fall in love with Cybertron as well.
Yeah.
So, and it all kind of stemmed from that core idea.
I was really impressed with how it was such a good entry book, in that Windblade could be the new audience. Because in-universe, this character has just come back to Cybertron, and as you said, like, it's a great intro point.
Yeah, you're learning with her.
Yeah.
Really cool.
But with some of the other cast in Windblade, like, you guys are getting to work with Waspinator and Skybite and a couple of other characters. You guys also kind of legitimized the two Tankors that, you know, as toys are not toys a lot of folks were looking at going, like, these are great. Like, you know, the one of them is an old Octane, the other one is kind of a short Tankor. Was the fat Tankor thing like something that sort of came from like looking at the two side by side, or?
When we were talking about potential casts, I was talking with John Barber, my editor, and we were going through, you know, who was available, who did we want around, and he mentioned, he's like, oh yeah, you know, and there's Tankor, and he's like, well, actually, there's two Tankors, two guys named Tankor, and once I remembered that, I was like, oh my god, like, they have to be best friends.
Yeah.
We absolutely have to do that. There are two different guys named Tankor, and just I couldn't resist that.
There's some meta level stuff, you know, kind of light humor meta level stuff. I enjoyed like the Wing Blade line, because everyone, you know, 9 out of 10 people, half the time, you know, it's a fraction of a fraction. They keep saying Wing Blade because it rolls off the tongue like that. Was that just kind of like a nod to the ongoing?
Yeah.
Have you guys considered doing a character called Wing Blade in this book just to follow? I had this little idea of, if you guys have read The Tick, you know, Barry the Tick, you just have a character named Wing Blade. Nothing like Wind Blade, but it's really mad someone stole the name.
No, you know, I mean, it is definitely floating around in the back of my mind. So that, and, you know,
someday bringing Dinobot into the Dinobots.
Yes.
Just to create maximum confusion.
I take great enjoyment in an in-universe awareness of some of the ludicrous nature of naming Transformers. So you guys are working on a four-part Wingblade, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys, have you got any plans for stuff moving ahead from there? Are you brainstorming some stuff? I know you probably can't talk about dead-on future projects.
Well, definitely brainstorming some stuff, and I think by the end of issue four, you'll get a very clear sense of where we would sort of love to go. But working on some original stuff and have a lot of work in the pipeline, so we're very happy.
Well, we need to see some more Sarah Stone art in the IDW verse.
I think it was announced that I am doing interiors for one Robots in Disguise issue.
Excellent.
Coming up, so.
Yeah, it's because we've got this big push right now with the books being so popular, but with just a couple of, you know, it's the same couple of people all working on it, and that's great, but I always get worried when we have a situation of a couple of years of the same creatives. Like, it's nice to see, like, fresh new blood coming in that are matching up to the par set by what's being put out so far.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, nice. I love the art that's going on right now, so I'm just really happy to be joining them and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Just, I guess, one last question. I mean, this is a pretty predictable one, but Windblade also brought along, like with her introduction, a couple other female Transformers into the IDW continuity, which up until then had remained extremely nebulous as to the nature of, you know, are there female Transformers whatsoever, operating off of just having the RC character. So I know you've taken a lot of kind of pride in being able to deliver that side of this story. As time is going on, like, it seems like there's a lot of reception to, like, a good reception to this introduction to this universe. How's it treating you? I mean, were you expecting the reaction you were getting, and how important this was to this universe?
Well, you know, I knew it was going to be big, but it still is, like, very surprising, the sort of range of reaction you get, but I think that's been kind of my favorite part about Windblade, is when I hear people saying that, like, you know, fans with kids saying that, like, my daughter finally likes Transformers, you know, or I finally love Windblade, she's just like me, and just being able to sort of feel like I'm helping bring new fans into this really cool world, and I think it's completely worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys are doing Dynamite. I heard about a huge line that apparently was here a couple hours ago.
That was very shocking.
Yeah, this is your guys' first convention as the Windblade team. Like, how's this been? Like, sitting down at a table, having people come up and say what they feel about the book, like, having a huge line of people.
Really crazy.
So far, so good. Yeah, the first time I ever signed anywhere was at Comic-Con, and the only thing that... the only person who came up to me asked me where the bathroom was. So... So I'm always surprised when people come up and are like, oh no, like, and they're finally bringing stuff. So
yeah.
It's been delightful. Although, you know, I do still know where the bathroom is, if anyone.
I was actually going to ask, where is the bathroom?
Yeah, no, it's right over there.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, I'll be heading over there afterwards. Well, I don't want to keep you guys any longer here. Hope you guys have a good BotCon. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for your time. And, I mean, you already had a gigantic line show up, but I hope you have two more.
Oh,
exactly.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's a great start. We're here at Artist Alley. I'm here with Marcelo Matier. How you doing?
Good, man. You? What about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm walking around with all this gear, running over feet and stuff. It's a good time.
Yeah.
So how's BotCon 2014 treating you so far? I mean, it's the first day. Just kind of setting up, getting things ready.
Yeah, everything is ready. I have a few more stuff to bring that I didn't have time to bring this time, but it's so far so good.
Like,
a lot of fans came around asking to sign stuff.
Have you been signing any of the box art you've been doing?
Yeah. I signed like 3 box art today.
Oh man.
Yeah, for Energon.
Oh wow.
Oh, that's a while.
Cool.
Like for 10 years ago that I did. Yeah.
But you've been doing some stuff lately, right? Like, you've been doing a lot of the platinum box art.
Yeah, I did a few platinum stuff, and for package art, I've been doing some stuff for 2015.
Oh wow.
New package art coming. Yeah. And I've been doing mostly concepts for toys.
Yeah.
And then Have you seen those 3-packs for Asian markets? I think it's two or three packs the protector boats. Yeah, I did the package art for those.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I think we've just seen the back of those boxes so far.
Yeah,
I think they kind of leaked on Facebook somewhere.
Yeah, but I did the package for those.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Well, with the... Oh, there's 5 minutes left. Thanks, Dad. So speaking of the packaging art you're doing, it sounds like there's a big lead time on getting the packaging art done. Like, would you say like a full year before it shelves, or
what for?
Like, if you're doing like a say a box art for something from 2015.
Yeah.
That's a really long lead time. That's longer than I
thought. Yeah, that's the time they usually ask me for work for a year and a half. Front.
So knowing kind of what's coming up, is it difficult to you know still head on to social media on Twitter and things like that? And
I have too many to talk about, so that is a problem. Like,
yeah.
So most of the things are really secret, so I can talk much about it. Even I only can show those stuff before they come out. But I usually start with only some exclusives. They usually ask me to do 6 months before. Like for San Diego,
yeah,
I work in some package for them. They're gonna see some package for San Diego Comic Con. I started work on them like 6 months ago.
Cool.
Depends on the project. Sometimes they have last minute projects. Oh, we need these projects to finish for in a month and a month and a half.
I'm sure that the lead time is part of the development of the box too.
Exactly.
Have you hit the scenario where you did up a piece of art and they came back and said, "Can you change something on this?" Or
sometimes only for recolor when they need to make a repaint for the toy. Sometimes they don't ask me to do the recolor job. They usually do in house.
Or
ask for someone else. But most of the time, they usually ask me to do the recolor, but they don't change my stuff.
Okay.
The only one work that it was not for Hasbro, it was for another company. I did a package art for DVD box.
Yeah.
They changed totally the colors.
Oh. Is that something where you just saw it, like you saw the final product at the end of the day, and were like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the game. That's okay.
Well, are you still doing work for Transformers Legends, the Mobage game?
Yes. I'm doing a lot of.
I've seen a lot of the. Like, I like that you're posting up the line art stuff for that.
Yeah, I'd like to post more, but we're not allowed to.
Yeah,
they say just to remove all the artwork, but I've been doing a lot of stuff. Basically, every week I've been doing stuff for them. They usually ask for do artwork like a month will be before they release the actual.
Yeah, the number of events they do, it's surprising to me, like how much new art they get pumped out like so fast.
Actually, they had a lot of art to work at the same time, like the pencils. I think there are at least 5 guys drawing.
Yeah.
So they can keep things rolling.
The big question I have about stuff working on Legends is, have you done some of the sequential transformation pictures?
Yeah, I've felt.
Were those tricky to start doing, like compared to just the character portrait, like the two pictures?
Yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Like, the problem is because most of the designs they ask to do, they are new designs. So sometimes you have to figure out how they do transform.
Yeah.
Sometimes they ask, "Oh, you can base it then on the toys," but they don't match. You have to figure out what to do. Sometimes we fake the transformation a little bit because it's gonna be so fast.
Have you ever hit the thing where you've figured out like, "All right, I want to do these pictures, but they need like one more for the sake of the way those cards work," or like it's like you've got this great like 2-step thing going on, but they're like, "Oh, we need 4 pieces of art or something like that." Or
it's almost 4 pieces of art. Sometimes they ask us to do like first one is car, second one car to robot, and then the third one sometimes you fix, sometimes you can make a little part transformation, like the finish of the transformation, but it's not a big deal, but when they send a new a new design and they ask for transform, this is complicated. If they ask for G1 stuff or things that... Sometimes I search for the instructions online to figure out how to transform because I don't have many of those.
Well, some of that stuff, I look at it going like, you know, I know they probably, like, maybe some of it references toys, but a lot of it looks pretty much original. And those transformation sequentials, I'm like, those must be much more work just getting everything set up to look like it all matches up and it looks dynamic.
Yeah. For this kind of artwork, we need to make them more dynamics than to accurate with the toys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the movie. Sometimes they fix some transformations to make to look so cool.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that you have to do with this
guy. Like a hand can come out of there. It's...
Yeah.
is there anything else you've been working on of late that's notable? I mean, you're doing a lot of packaging stuff. You're working on Legends.
I work on Legends. I've been doing a few stuff for Hasbro for new properties that I can say now.
Yeah.
I've been doing mostly this for Transformers, most concepts. I've been doing package art for the rescue boats.
Oh, cool.
All those rescue boats that are on shelves or that are on the Hasbro booth now, I did the package artwork for them. And I did the concepts for the Titan figures as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It must be neat to walk down a toy aisle and kind of go like, all right, that's mine.
Yeah, that's great because it's like... because I have to switch the style, so sometimes I have to do rescue boats that are really simple.
Yeah.
And then I have to do a platinum that a lot of details.
And you just have to have the rescue bots show up in Legends, and you can have that nice fusion of aesthetics.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, going by the voice from the ceiling, that we've got to get out of here soon.
Okay.
So thanks very much for your time.
Oh, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you at these shows.
Yeah, same to you.
And they'll catch you around. I guess we're going to, at least a bunch of us are heading to Universal, it sounds like. So take it easy.
Take it easy, buddy. Good to see you.
All right. Hello.
Hi.
We're at BotCon.
Yes, we are.
It's BotCon 2014.
Yes, it is.
And I am here at the Puggleformers booth. I'm going to say booth. I'm going to use the word booth because it sounds fancier than table. We're at the Artist Alley, and it's Saturday. How's it going for you here?
It's going spectacularly well. A little too well. I will have nothing left by tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, if you don't mind, I can show the camera your current stock. You've got...
Two.
Here's one.
Moonracer.
And the one that, when you see it, you'll get it.
Signal Lancer.
And you're all like, what?
Who the hell is Signal Lancer?
Oh, it's right, that one. So it looks like business went well.
Yes.
And you've got some sweet chewing gum style business cards, my favorite style. I think they look cooler.
They were cheaper than regular business cards, too.
That is another advantage, yes.
And I got them on sale at the same time.
So you've pretty much been winning on all ends here.
Yeah.
You've also got some non-Puggle stuff over here. Well, Puggle style, but, you know, other stuff here on the left side of the table. What's up over there?
Jewelry. Dog tags, necklaces. I pretty much saw some suppliers with the things, and I'm like, that looks like a fun thing to do. I didn't even count how many I made. I just made them. It was fun.
Yeah.
And then I brought them here, and people seemed to like them. So that's the story with that.
It's one of those happy stories of, like, I want to do this, and it lined up nicely.
I found, like, necklaces the same color as the charms, and I just kind of went a little nuts one day in my craft room matching necklaces and things and using the pliers to put it all together. And
nice.
That's pretty much how most of my time goes nowadays.
You kind of get lost in a craft.
Yeah. Next thing I know, it's like 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, what happened?
Are they messing with the lights here again?
Where did the sun go?
That happened when... Oh. I'm not going to go into that story. That was a long, terrible story. In the world of Puggleformers, I've been seeing on Twitter, like, continuing interest in what you're doing. Continuing questioning as to, hey, can I commission a Puggleformer? Outside of BotCon, it seems like Puggles are pretty much rocking their little world. Is that a correct assessment?
I guess so, and I'm a little concerned, actually, because I'm going to be going back to school in a few months.
I would assume that's going to impact your ability to take on, like, 500 commissions every week.
I'm returning back to school in this fall, for the fall terms, when I'm trying to go back to get my degree. And I going to have to slow down commissions because I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but school is going to have to take slightly more priority.
Most people would agree that that's the best course of action. And I'm totally going to give you some, well, I can't plug because I'm holding the microphone. It'll be loud and a mess. But great respect for going back to pursue a degree.
Thank you very much.
I know how frustrating unfinished business can be in that field of life. I'm happy that this is still carrying on and continuing because, like...
It just startles me every day that people still like these.
Well, you hit on a good aesthetic, I think. Like, it's portable, it's cute, it's characterful. It gets across, you know, the Transformers characters that they're being homaged in a lot of them. And I'm happy it's sticking around because this is the kind of thing where I was looking at it, I'm like, this is super cool, and I hope this isn't a bunch of people just seeing the new thing and going like, I want one, and then, you know, ramping up the commission wall and then disappearing.
The weird thing is, I think I would have been happy with that. I always kind of told myself that would be like a temporary thing.
Yeah.
That I have to be realistic about these kind of things. I actually went to business school for a little while, so I kind of learned how these things happen.
Yeah.
And this keeps going. And I don't know why.
Well, I mean, I like I said, the aesthetic, yeah, I think, is really carrying it. And the quality of build as well. And I use build, it's, you know, it's stitched item. But I think it's really good to keep that realistic viewpoint, too.
Yeah,
like, the most dangerous thing you could do is go like, I don't need to go to school. I could do this for the rest of my life.
I'll do this forever.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're still able to do some of this stuff while you're at school.
I plan to. I'll still have my weekends.
Yeah.
So the first couple of commissions are probably going to be a bit rocky, but I figure if I have the trial period to figure it out, and then I'll be able to budget my time appropriately after I figure where I stand.
Well, fans of your work certainly seem like the kind of folks who are going to be patient and you know, able to deal with any kind of change in schedule. I mean, they'll probably send lots of messages. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer.
It's okay, as long as you want.
But folks can still look you up at the same old spot over on DeviantArt on Twitter.
Yeah.
Anywhere else that they should check out?
I kind of have a Tumblr, but I keep forgetting I have a Tumblr. So the same stuff that's on Twitter ends up on the Tumblr, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
I'm still trying to figure out the language of Tumblr. Like, I get linked to Tumblr posts, but I try to use it, and I'm kind of like, I don't really know where I'm fitting in myself.
I just keep posting pubbles up there and see what happens.
Best approach?
Yeah.
Well, even if you are having to take a bit of a, not even a break, but just having to slow things down for school, I hope this remains, you know, a fulfilling project and a popular project. And I hope to see you at a couple more BotCons.
I hope so, too. I'm not sure where I'm going to be next year, like, with the whole school thing and everything. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you very
and,
much.
And thanks for your time.
Sure.
It's been some more Artist Alley here at BotCon 2014.
Artist
with
Alley.
The Pinkest Table.
I always bring the pink tablecloth. I have to.
It's great. It sticks out beautifully.
And my crayon-drawn banner.
Well, thanks very much.
Anytime.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.